Good morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. It's 7 minutes past the hour of eight, Tuesday morning. A lovely morning to you, wherever you are. I'm Sheriff Quadri. You can watch live right now the last 1 hour of Morning Crossfire. You can watch on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. At 5 a.m., as early as 5 a.m. this morning, we started this conversation of President Muhammadu Buhari signing into law the Petroleum Industry Bill, now and an act. We about to break things down for you, what you need to know, putting things in right perspectives. I have an expert. He is a partner and head tax regulatory service, Africa Tax and Legal Services, leader at PricewaterhouseCoopers PwC Nigeria, Taiwo Oyedele. He joins me live in the studio this morning. Mr. Taiwo, good morning to you.
Thank you, Sherry, for having me.
It's been a minute, right?
Yes, it's been a long time.
Thank you for coming through.
My pleasure.
I mean, I was looking through who could do justice to this story, and I said, nah, it has to be Mr. Taiwo. There's no other person that can do better work on this particular conversation. And that's why I said, nah, let's have you in the studio. And thank you for always being there. Anytime we call on you, you are always there.
The pleasure is mine. Thank you.
To say something. Now, Lagos, in case you have any question concerning the PIA, feel free to let us know. We're streaming live on Facebook. Drop your questions there for Mr. Taiwo. Trust me, he is well grounded. Whatever it is you're not sure of about the PIA, the Petroleum Industry Act, just drop it there. I will come there. And as a matter of fact, I'm making a promise, I'll take more of your questions than mine. That's a promise. I'll take more of yours than mine, okay? Let's begin by asking this question. Would signing the Petroleum Industry Bill lead to more hike in the current price of PMS as being insinuated in some quarters? Will it lead to it? So Taiwo, I'll come to you with this question. Let me also lead by saying this is one of the many questions Nigerians are having. Many troubling questions in the minds of Nigerians, despite the fact that it had been said that signing PIB would overhaul the Nigerian petroleum sector for the better, as well as getting a better deal for oil and sharing the revenues more efficiently. At least there will be some level of transparency in that sector. Today we discuss the first in the first series of long-awaited petroleum industry laws designed to reform the Nigerian oil and gas industry. The Petroleum Industry Bill, now an act, which lasted for about 20 years in its legislative or legislation journey. Yesterday, Monday 16th of August, President Muhammadu Buhari signed the Petroleum Industry Bill 2021 into law. Special advisor to the President on Media and Publicity, Garba Shehu, this time around, Femi Adesina, as a matter of fact, made this known in a statement on Monday. He titled the statement, President Buhari signed the Petroleum Industry Bill into law, and he said quite a number of things in the statement that he put out. Now, the bill contains five chapters, including governance and institution, administration, host communities development, petroleum industry fiscal framework, and miscellaneous provisions in 319 clauses and 8 schedules. Mr. Taiwo Oyedele will break these chapters down for us one by one. But let's start this way, Mr. Taiwo. Would signing the Petroleum Industry Bill lead to more hike in the current price of fuel?
Okay, I wish I can say yes or no. I'll say it's yes and no.
Okay.
And I would explain. So the Petroleum Industry Act, and I like the way you are reminding us, is now an act, no longer a bill.
Yeah.
Requires that within 6 months of signing from yesterday, of course, we are waiting to see the gazetted copy to see whether commencement date will be different from when the president signed.
Okay.
But within 6 months of coming into effect, we must establish NNPC Limited.
Okay.
And NNPC Limited must be commercially focused. Just think about Shell, ExxonMobil. So they're not doing subsidy, right?
Yeah.
But it says that the NNPC that we have currently will transfer all the assets and liability and undertaking to the NNPC Limited. Whatever we cannot transfer will remain with NNPC. until those liabilities and assets are transferred eventually to the federal government.
Yeah.
So what that means is, for the next 6 months, you're likely to continue to have subsidy.
Okay.
When we get to the point where we can no longer have NMPC, but only NMPC Limited, subsidy will be gone. So it's a matter of time.
Okay.
It's going to happen, but not immediately.
When subsidy goes, what should we expect?
I think we should expect more efficiency, we should expect more investment, we should expect development, we should expect less corruption. I do admit there will be some level of hardship because prices will go up. Unfortunately, in Nigeria, there's always people who take advantage of increases in the price of petroleum products.
Very true.
So if you factor the cost of moving 10 passengers from Ikeja to say Obalinde, if you increase the price of petrol from 165 to say even 250, the incremental amount for that journey of maybe you consume 4 liters, is barely 20 naira per passenger, but they will then double it. Landlord will increase their rent and all of that. But I think over time, those things will adjust themselves. As of today, we have diesel that is not subsidized. And
you have Molue kerosene as well.
So Molue is run on diesel,
right? That's right.
A lot of intercity buses, those big buses.
Quite a lot of them.
They run, even the trucks, right? They run on diesel, and it's not subsidized, and we're living with that, and we're coping.
Right.
I think Nigeria can no longer afford the subsidy regime.
Let's talk about the chapters in the new act. We're going to start with governance and institutions. What is in it? What should we know about this?
So if I want to summarize for you, I'll say the governance and institution is talking about the regulation of the sector.
Okay.
Before now, before yesterday.
As soon as that.
We had the NMPC as an operator and also as a regulator. Just imagine the NCC also selling us airtime and mobile data like MTN. So it was, I don't know where we got that model from. It just didn't make sense. And there wasn't any form of control and transparency. So there was a time that the NMPC had 6 GMDs in 7 years. So you can't run an organization like that. So chapter one on governance and institution is talking about the role of the minister, the fact that we now have to separate operation from regulation.
Okay.
It creates two regulators, even though some of us think it should have been one. So there's a commission that will regulate the upstream. Now we have 3 segments. Before, we used to have 2. It was upstream and downstream. Now it's upstream, midstream, and downstream.
Right.
So the commission will regulate the upstream. The authority will regulate the midstream and the downstream. And then it says that NMPC must now be NMPC Limited and must be commercially focused. So that's the summary of that institution. But just to put it in context, how this is so important. If you think about Saudi Aramco, you know, we always say that government has no business doing business. And I tend to agree, but really, it's just about us. So if you think about Saudi Aramco, just for second quarter or maybe first quarter of this year, Saudi Aramco made profit, not revenue, profit of $25 billion. That is more than the entire revenue we are hoping to generate in this 2021.
My word.
Profit for 3 months alone. Then think about Venezuela. These guys actually have the largest reserve in the world, even more than Saudi Arabia, more than 300 billion barrels of proven reserve. But no one is investing there, right? So you have Saudi Aramco at one extreme of how things should be done, even by government. And then you have Venezuela at the other end about how you shouldn't do anything at all. And you have NMPC in Nigeria in between, right?
Doing what exactly? What are they doing? They're in between.
Sometimes they make a lot of losses for us. Spending hundreds of billions maintaining refineries that produce nothing. You know, so we have that. And in fact, I think my own model is the American model. So America today produces more than 10 million barrels per day. That's more than five times what we produce. They do not have a national oil company. They just allow the private sector to run it, and they collect all the money from taxes, and they're cool with
open market.
Yes, indeed. So that is one important thing to know about governance and institution. The other one that might be of interest to your listeners is apart from the fact that we will start paying commercial price for petrol, in particular, because the others, anyway, we are paying the commercial prices already, there will be an imposition of 1% levy on the wholesale price of petroleum products. The essence is half of that, 0.5%, is to fund the authority that has been created under this law for them to do their operations. And then another 0.5% is to fund midstream gas infrastructure. So that is, we want to be able to get to a point where at home, you can turn on a switch and then gas comes up, right? Without having to buy all these cylinders that we carry everywhere.
I'm wondering, I mean, it sounds quite impressive, but this authority, that's the guys in the midstream, they will still be comprised of government people, right?
No. It's fully private sector.
Fully privatized?
Yes. So it's just private sectors investing. It's not like government has anything they want to privatize, right? So government can decide that they want to continue with their refining. Refining will be part of midstream. Transportation will be part of midstream. Gas would also be part of it. So government can decide to play. Like today, if government decides they want to do telecommunication, they're welcome to do it, right? So you're going to have that. But mostly, I don't see government being able to compete. It will be really private sector.
All right.
It's not like the electricity one where government is holding us in the middle. So this one is not like that. So this is fully privatized and left in the hand of the private sector. The other important conversation under this chapter one is the one about, you know, this investment in frontier exploration.
That's right.
Yeah, it's been, I think it's been too politicized, unfortunately. Even people who know, I think they tend not to say say it the way it is. By the way, I'm from the Niger Delta. So before anybody crucifies me, I'm also affected by these issues.
Right.
Now, what the provision says is that the NNPC Limited, remember, is going to be commercially driven, you know, so this NNPC Limited will earn management fee. From when they take, that's what we call, you know, profit oil. I.e., when we calculate all our expenses, whatever is left, we share the oil. That's our profit oil. When we take the profit oil, in the case of gas, we call it profit gas. Now, whatever we sell from that, NNPC will take, NNPC Limited, we take 10% of it as management fee. So, and then there's a 30% of that profit that should be invested in frontier exploration. So, the way this has been interpreted, I do know there's always politics in almost everything in Nigeria, is that this is money for the, you know, for the big men.
For the boys.
Mostly,
money for the boys.
And mostly for the northern part of the country. That is not exactly correct, because frontier, you know, exploration include, you know, even Anambra Basin. So it's the whole of Nigeria, maybe more to the north. And even though there's merit in the argument of why are you investing in this, why don't you allow the private sector to do it, right? We're saying we need to invest so we can find more reserves. So we can then produce more. So let's set money aside for that investment. So that's the argument that is being made. People are now comparing that 30% with 3% for the host community.
Where we're going next.
But the base is completely different. So 30% of profits, you cannot compare it with 3% of operating expenses. It means whether you make profit or not, even when you are making losses, you must pay the 3%.
That's the difference.
That's the difference.
It's not from the profit.
It's not from the profit.
It's your operating expenses.
And in fact, that 3% can easily be more than the 30%. Right? So imagine my profit is, you know, $1 billion, right? I take 30% of it. my operating expenses can easily be $50 billion. So it's huge. That's why some estimates have it that at least you're going to be looking at $500 million a year coming from this 3%. So maybe when we get to the host community chapter, we talk more about it.
That's where we're going next, as a matter of fact, Mr. Taiwo, the host community's development. And let me take it from where you stopped about the operating expenses of oil companies. Are we looking at individual community where an oil company operates? Or how will it play out, really?
Excellent question. Again, this is one of the most modeled up analyses that I've had in the public space. So first, this law was intentional in saying that host community will be defined by the operator. So you that you're operating, you're the one who know who are your host people, right?
Right.
So if you're producing in a particular community and you have infrastructure maybe to transport your product and that passes through three other communities,
right?
You know those guys can do a lot of harm. So me as the operator, I would define my host communities to be the one hosting my production and the three other communities where my infrastructure passed through. And then I have four host communities.
Okay.
Right. So the law says this is your 3% of your operating expenses. Set it aside. We're going to have a fund. We're going to have a board of trustee, and we have management committee. And these people that will sit on those structures will be competent people, and they may not necessarily be from the communities themselves. Which I think makes sense, even though people may not like it, because the idea is you may have a village where there's nobody who really understands these issues. And then it says that amount of money, 75% of it must go into infrastructure. 20% you must keep for the rainy day. That's a reserve. And only 5% must go into your running expenses. Was well thought out.
Right. Mr. Taiwo, hold your thoughts. We're still in the host community's conversation, but we need to take a quick break. Lagos, we'll be right back. Stay with us. We're not done yet. We're back in a moment.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to Crossfire here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Good morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. If you are just tuning in, 8:33 is the time from our studios here. And we've been talking about the Petroleum Industry Act. The bill was signed into law by President Muhammadu Buhari yesterday. And there is need to break down some areas of the bill or the act that have been contentious, that people have been talking about. Before the break, we were talking about the host communities fund. I have Taiwo Oyedele on the show this morning from PricewaterhouseCoopers, PwC, here in Nigeria. He joins us live in the studio. Mr. Taiwo, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us again.
Good morning again. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, by the way, let me reemphasize that Mr. Taiwo is, of course, the partner and head tax regulatory service, Africa Tax and Legal Services leader of at PricewaterhouseCoopers, PwC, Nigeria. Before the break, Mr. Taiwo, we're talking about the host communities fund, and you've broken a few things down. In essence, what you're saying is that if the oil company's asset or infrastructure passes through some of the communities, it's only 3% of its operating expenses that will be set aside for the entire three communities, right?
Yes, that's correct. So if you're operating in a particular community and then you have your infrastructure passing through, for example, three other communities, you would then identify all four of them as your host community.
Okay.
And then you set aside this 3% and then you use the 3% to do projects for the four communities. I would imagine that you'd be biased more, you know, in favor of the community that is hosting your operations. But by extension, everybody needs to be catered for.
Yeah.
One, because you don't want them to sabotage your operations.
Yeah.
Two, also, sometimes you may find that, you know, a spillage may not even affect where you're producing a loan, it may spread to other communities. So it makes sense to me the way it's been defined in the law, and I don't see any problems with that.
Does the law envisage the fact that there could be more than one oil companies in the end in maybe one or two of those communities?
Yes, indeed. In fact, it's expected. And as we speak, there are communities where you have more than one operator there. And we should hope to have more if this PIA works out well. So, but for every operator, you create your own fund.
Yeah.
So you may have a community where there are 10 funds, you know, so everybody contributes their 3% and then they do the same thing in terms of developing the community and building projects. So you're not going to consolidate the funds.
Okay.
Every operator creates a fund.
Do they set up different management teams?
Yes.
Or just one team?
Yes, unfortunately. This is one of the areas where I think we should maybe over time find a better way of dealing with it.
Okay.
Because sometimes when we make laws, we're thinking about the big oil companies, the Shell, the Totals, and the ExxonMobils. But there are guys who are small.
Yeah.
That if you take this 3%, by the time you start splitting it into 5% of operating expenses, it can't even cover anything. It might be too small.
Yeah.
But I think this is a good way to start, and then it will get better over time.
Indeed. Now, let's move on very quickly before we go on to start taking, and I promise to take more questions. Well, as soon as they come in, I will take them. Trust me on that one. I will take them. We're live on Facebook. We're also live on YouTube. Let me go to, I can't access my Facebook. I don't know what's going on.
Maybe before we leave that, just to say that in terms of what is available under the PIA for the host community, I think it's good enough. You know, if you're having a problem with your basket not being able to hold on to water, the problem is not to intensify the speed at which you pour water into the basket. It's to try and fix the basket first, and then you'll be able to retain some of the water. Even before the PIA, we had a 13% derivation.
That's right.
We had the 3% that goes to the NDDC. And many of us would rather just forget about this drama that we see every time when you mention NDDC. It's very painful for me personally because I just imagine the kind of development we should be having in the Niger Delta today.
We can only imagine
them. So those monies are being wasted. I also would like to remind people there's the local content development law that also gives another 1%. So this 1%, I'll say, is more for human capital development. So even though we don't talk about it because we like things that are tangible, we want to see roads. So this is also another thing to develop the Niger Delta and develop Nigeria generally.
Human capital development for the people of the Niger Delta?
Yes. I'll say the people of Nigeria, of course, with a bias towards people from the Niger Delta.
Okay.
So that law requires that in terms of if we don't have the skills. So let's say they bring in expatriates to do everything and they say Nigerians don't have the knowledge. That law says we must use that opportunity.
Yeah.
And the fund and compel the oil companies to train Nigerians so that over time we stop bringing expatriates and we use our people.
Brilliant.
We're not asking questions enough about that. It's been around since 2010, so over 10 years. So if you put all of this together, 13% derivation, 3% NDDC, 3% host community, 1% local content, there's also the ecological fund. If you're not careful, if you keep increasing these, you want 10% and 15%, you get to a point where one barrel of crude oil is no longer commercially viable. And nobody will invest. That's what happened in Venezuela. So it's in our enlightened self-interest to ensure that the operations are still profitable so that the oil companies can continue to invest. The more they invest, actually, what I like about this 3% host community fund is that the more investment you have, the more the contribution you will get. Because the more your operations, the higher your operating expenses.
That's right.
The higher your operating expenses, the higher the 3% that you contribute.
That's right.
So if we make it unprofitable, the investment will stop and you will get nothing if that ratio was even 20%.
Will the initial proposed 5% have been impossible to make this assumption happen?
I think it would have been very difficult. because even the 3%, we don't know how it's going to play out. I'm sure that the oil companies are doing their modeling now.
Okay.
3% of operating expenses, in addition to another 3% to the NDDC, is huge. It's huge. It's a lot of money. Because it's uncertain. You're not sure you're going to make money. So if you ask me to give you a percentage of my profits, I can take that risk. Because when I don't make profit, you don't collect anything. But when I want to operate, it's a high-risk sector. I do not know whether I will make money. I'm borrowing. I'm paying interest on it just to do my operation. And you're saying I should also borrow and give you as well. So I think it's tough enough. We shouldn't make it more difficult. Plus, we're going to have opportunities to amend it subsequently. If we think that the oil companies are still very profitable and therefore we have the opportunity to adjust that ratio, maybe higher than 3%. But I would also say with low price regime of crude oil price, it's not the days when we had it at over $100 per barrel. Right.
Those days are long gone.
Yeah, those days are long gone. So the lower the price, the more difficult it is to pay a percentage of OPEX to the host community. And if you think about the conversation around the future of energy, even ECOWAS, even though I saw it about 2 days ago and I laughed. So ECOWAS said, even us, by 2025, we should stop using...
They are gathering themselves together, ECOWAS community.
They say we should stop using fossil fuel
yeah.
and stop producing, you know, using cars that use petrol.
You.
So even the of developed countries, they said 2030... I think we like to dream inside dream. You have one dream. I dreamed that I was dreaming. So you have to wake up twice. Especially when you remind yourself that this ECOWAS is really Nigeria. Anyway, on paper, it's dead. we won't use fossil fuel.
Yeah.
So what it means is going forward, you don't see a regime where the price per barrel will be $100. Rather, what we should envisage is 50, is 40, is 30, and so on and so forth. So I think we should leave it at the 3% for now.
I have some questions here, especially on YouTube. I can't access my Facebook. I'm sorry if you drop comments on Facebook. Timmy says, in administering the 3%, to the host community, as in the PIB, does it replace 13% derivation or the ecology fund? I think you've answered that. It doesn't.
Yes, it doesn't. It's in addition to what we currently have.
Addition of Watsunde on YouTube says, the 3% to the host community, as in the PIB. Okay, I think I've taken this one. Temi is here, and Temi says, in administering 3% to host communities, can host communities pick the fund administrators themselves? And how can one apply to be a fund for this?
I think I can make a guess of what the person is trying to say. So it's not the host community to decide everybody that will be on the board of trustee, management committee. Of course, they're going to just put their people there.
That's right.
And they may not be the people with the right skills to manage it. So the decision as to who is going to be on it is a joint decision by the operator, by the community, and also by even the commission, the regulator as well.
Right.
So, and there are conditions in the PIA as to who qualifies. So you can't just go and brick someone because, you know, they're your uncle in the village and they make a lot of noise.
Right.
So it has to be run properly, which is the... I think that's the only way you can get the best interest for the communities. Because actually, you know, before the PIA, these oil companies were spending a lot of money, of course, maybe reluctantly, you know, after the crisis we had. They were spending a lot of money with the host communities. So they would go to the King,
I am aware. I am aware.
And they give them a lot of money, and those things don't get to the people.
And they even sometimes give the strong ones in the community some contracts to protect their assets.
And those things don't get to the people. So at the end of the day, we can accuse government of corruption, but many of us are just as corrupt. We're looking for the opportunity.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But does the law take into recognition the fact that the host communities, I don't know whether that's the right way to put it, but does the host community have a say, however small, in who constitutes, who can be a part of the management team or the board of trustees?
Yes, yes, yes. They have a say. Okay. So the host community has a say. Of course, they won't make the decision, but they have an input into the process of those who constitute the management committee and even also in determining the projects.
Oh.
Yeah. So so they can tell you what we want is a school.
Okay.
And they can tell you we want a health center. Mm. So I think in fairness, you know, given where we're coming from, this is not bad at all, in my own view. Mm. I think we should start shifting the conversation to how do we make it work rather than these 3-5%. In fact, you know, when sometimes ago the conversation was the host community said they wanted equity stake in the oil companies. Mm-hmm. And I said, if only people understand what they're asking for. They want to own shares of oil companies. What that means is, you first have to go and look for money to contribute and
to
buy your own
in.
Shares.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The year they make losses, you have not...
You bear the brunt. Yeah.
You bear the brunt. Mm. So, I think this is, you know, I think it's probably the best thing we can have at this time.
There's a question here that's quite interesting. MSA Professional says, how can we guard against underreporting of operating expenses?
Easy peasy. Mm. So, currently, even for the NDDC, you have those provisions in place. So, first, you have the auditors that will audit those companies, and they do it regularly, not NDDC that they have not audited in many years.
Many years.
And then we have the regulators as well, looking at those books. Mm. So how are you going to... Because you see, there's another cash. And that is that you want to claim a deduction for tax purposes.
Mm.
So if you underreport your operating expenses because you don't want to pay 3%, you're going to be losing about 60% of that cost because you cannot deduct it for tax purposes. So the risk of under-disclosing your operating expenses because of these 3% is actually zero. Even from a commercial point of view, it doesn't even make economic sense for anybody to do that.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Now, let's take a dive into how can we make sure that this act, this law now, how can we make sure it works? How can we, what can be done? What should we do on the part of the government, the oil companies, and the host communities, not forgetting the larger society in Nigeria?
I think this is the most important question, actually. Mm. So how do we make it work? So we've signed it. Many people are excited. Actually, this lead, I still don't know how I feel myself because I think this is something that should have happened 20 years ago or even you know, longer than that. But where we are. So we need to move from this phase of we're excited and some people are playing politics with this. Mm. You know, someone signed it. Nobody signed it before. I see this rocket science.
Mm.
So the question of how do we implement this? So those would be issues to do with the commencement of the law, transition arrangement, and savings provisions. So Chapter 5, for example, talks about those savings provisions.
Okay.
So the investing community, whether they're local companies or international companies, are going to be looking at what happens next.
Mm.
So this PIA has provisions for establishing regulations, guidelines, rules here and there. We should start those conversations now.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, including the host community, so the governance arrangement in the PIA is good, but you can make it even better.
Mm.
So especially if you include things around public reporting and allowing any member of the host community, like the, what do you call this thing where you can ask for information?
Freedom of information.
Exactly.
Okay.
So allow any member of the host community to question what is being done and be entitled to see all the report. The finance. Don't hide it from anybody.
Mm.
Let's see what, you know, has been contributed.
Mm.
Even when you award contract, I want to see how many people bidded.
Mm.
You know, so if you start padding those projects, we're back to where we started from.
Mm.
So
transparency.
Transparency is key. And also constantly reviewing these things. So we shouldn't wait for another 50 years, you know, before we look at reforming the sector again, if we still have the sector. We should be looking at this constantly.
Okay.
As things evolve,
okay,
you make changes to the law and the regulation. Some of the concerns that some of us have, maybe those will be addressed subsequently.
Okay.
For example, why do you have to ask me to pay different taxes? You pay hydrocarbon tax, which is up to 30%. You pay company income tax, that's 30%. You pay education tax, that is 2%. You pay royalty, can be up to 15%.
That's the oil companies,
the oil companies
paying all of these taxes.
Paying all of these taxes. I think they have to pay, of course, in addition to the host community, NDDC, local content. So is there a way we can merge as many of these as possible?
Just harmonize them.
Yeah, harmonize them. And why do we need two regulators? Maybe we should have only one.
Okay.
So some of these conversations are things that we should see how this law will play out. And then what changes do we need to make, and do that as soon as possible or as soon as it becomes necessary. Don't wait for another 10 years. And hopefully when we're having those conversations again, politics will not come in the way. Because if you ask me, apart from laziness or maybe unseriousness, I think it's politics that's kept this bill for 20 years. Actually, it was presented in 2008, so 13 years. So we would have had this if not for politics. And we allow it to get in the way. So we've lost Nigeria. If only we can turn back the hands of time. Enact this law and see the outcome. We will not be where we are today. And Naira will not even be 410 or 500 today.
Maybe.
No, it won't be. You know, since the 70s, we've been on 2 million barrels per day. If there has been proper reform and investment, you know, oil is only useful when you bring it out.
That's right.
Right. If we are today producing 4 million barrels, Naira will not be 410 Naira. It will be less than that because you have enough liquidity of foreign reserve to defend the Naira. And if we had used that, well, one of the provisions that I like in this PIA is a provision to, so there's a royalty that is based on production and there's royalty that is based on price. So when price of crude oil per barrel goes up, you contribute royalty and it goes to the Sovereign Wealth Investment Fund.
Sadly, we must leave it here, Taiwo, for this morning. I mean, we need more time to talk some more about this.
I can imagine.
We can't go beyond this point. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
That's the show this morning, Lagos. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Good morning to you.
This is an infomercial.
If you love good food and want it delivered fast, the Jumia Food app is the plug you need.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info.